Hello, Grinders, and welcome back to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down today's slate for you guys. We have a nice 10-game slate on tap, but before we do, it's that time again, the familiar crossroads between choosing between hockey or basketball. You can't choose. They're both on. While they're both on, what do you do? Relax. We have a solution for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Rather than fill your living room with TVs, come into B-Dubs. We've got hockey and we've got basketball on, each playing on a ton of different screens so that you don't have to choose which one to watch. And to complete the trifecta, we can ensure you that you have access to all the sports foods you crave from our selections of America's favorite wings and our 21 signature sauces and seasonings to shareable favorites like cheddar cheese curds and fried pickles. You'll have everything you've ever wanted. But wait, we also have a variety of beers to quench your thirst as well. All the basketball, all the hockey, all the food, and all the beer you want. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. All right, guys, let's talk about this slate a little bit. It's definitely one that you guys are going to be excited about, right? A nice Friday 10-game slate. So, let's dive right in. A lot of nice totals, and I'm excited to talk about it. First game we have, we've reached the March NBA where, you know, things start to get a little crazy. April's when it really gets nuts, but, March we're going to start having some crazy stuff happen. But first game on tap, don't think too much crazy stuff will go on. We got the Detroit Pistons and the Orlando Magic. This is a 214.5 team total. First side we'll talk about is the Pistons, and if you ever listen to most people's content, but mine specifically, Magic are one of my teams that I love to target. They're kind of like Coors Field in DFS, just a team that you can eat alive, a team that just gets destroyed defensively. So yeah, I want to get some of these Pistons here. I think it makes a ton of sense. My favorite target is probably paying up for Andre Drummond. I don't know if he's my favorite on the slate, but he's one of them. I mean, it's just that price tag on Fantasy Draft at 17.5K is really nice. It's really tough to pass up on him against the Magic. We know how bad the Magic are at rebounding and against centers. I mean, this is just a really great spot for a guy like Andre Drummond. Also think that Blake Griffin could have a pretty nice upside game. Only problem with him is, like, he's been kind of inconsistent for my liking in cash games, so I'll probably stay away from him in cash. Drummond, I think you can play in cash and tournaments. Going to be a play that I get a lot of exposure to today. I think Blake Griffin is more of a tournament play. He obviously has the upside to have these big games, and this is the type of spot where it could happen. But I think cash games is a little tougher for me to swallow. Maybe on a site like FanDuel where you're forced to play two power forwards, and we never really like the power forward position. But I'm kind of going to keep it simple with Drummond here. If I have to run it back with anyone else on the Pistons, like, I guess I'd throw like Ish Smith in there and correlate him up with Andre Drummond. Besides doing that, I really don't want to like mess around with the Reggie Bullocks and the James Ennises. All these guys, I mean, they do have some big games here and there, but I just don't know. I know it's the Magic and I know they're terrible, but a 10-game slate, I just don't think we need to really like play these type of value plays. So again, Andre Drummond, probably my favorite play in this game so far. Orlando Magic side of the ball, I don't hate Vucevic for his price. Not my favorite guy to play in the world. I mean, 13.8K is a really nice price tag. The minutes have been decent. We're at 24 minutes to start, and then he went 29, 32, 29. If I'm here that the minutes are definitely going to be like back to full, where maybe he's getting like that mid-30s, maybe I can just get more on Vucevic. I mean, this is a decent spot against Drummond, but I don't know. I don't think I want to jump on Vucevic yet. I'm still kind of waiting. I know the price is going down, though, which is nice. Like, on Fantasy Draft, 13.8K is a really nice tag. So if you force me to pick a Magic guy, he's probably the guy I pick. But I don't think I need to play any Magic today. Just a pace down game for them against the Pistons. I just don't think any of these Magic guys are going to be in play for me. Don't need to play Fournier or Aaron Gordon. I'm not really the biggest Aaron Gordon fan, so I'll pass on him. Just too expensive for my liking. All these guys, I just don't think it's necessary. It's just, I'll keep it simple with this game, and Andre Drummond in cash in tournaments, and then Blake in tournaments, and maybe mix in some Ish Smith as like a correlation with Drummond, but that's about it. Let's go on to the next game. Charlotte Hornets, Philadelphia 76ers, 215 team total. This is the Sixers are on the second night of a back-to-back, so we have to obviously watch for that. I'm sure Embiid plays, but we know that's something to look for at all times with Embiid, and just have to kind of monitor that and make sure everything's good. On the Charlotte side, we had Michael Kidd Gilchrist. He sat out the other day. That made Jeremy Lamb a really good play, and he kind of struggled a little bit. Kidd Gilchrist for this game, he's listed as questionable. If he doesn't play, I think it's a great spot to go back on Jeremy Lamb. I think I am going to go back on Jeremy Lamb in cash. It depends. There could be better plays, right? Better value, but I think he's still going to be like in the consideration for me, even if even if he plays. I'm not going to overreact from the one game where, you know, he didn't have the greatest game. I get it. It was a little frustrating, but I still think he's someone that we can consider. So I'm just not going to give up completely on him. So yeah, I think if Kid Gilchrist sits, he could be an interesting play. I think Nick Batum, a little pricey for my liking around the industry. I don't think I need to go that way. Kemba Walker's price has come down. I think that makes him a pretty interesting tournament play. Same with Dwight Howard. Price is down now a little bit. I don't love his matchup a ton, but I think there's upside still there at that price. But Kemba's price I like, and I'd probably rather side with him if I had to pick. Other than that, I don't want to get too much exposure to the Charlotte side. Not one of my favorite games. Let's talk about the Sixers real quick. And it's tough. I don't see myself paying for Embiid against Howard. Just not the easiest matchup. And then Simmons, I don't really like playing him that much anyways. This doesn't seem like the right spot for them. And all these other, mid-tier guys, right? The J.J. Redicks, the Covingtons, and the Saric. I just don't think this is going to fit, just my builds today. Just it's not gonna work. It's one of those games where I wouldn't mind getting exposure to it here and there, but just things aren't fitting right, and I don't think I like the price tags that much on a lot of these guys. So probably gonna pass on the Sixers and move on to the next game. Let's go to the next one. It's the Golden State Warriors and the Atlanta Hawks. So 226.5 team total, definitely a game that we want to get exposure to, right? Like when you see 226.5 total, you want to get exposure to that one. Problem is, Golden State Warriors, how do we get exposure to a team that's going against a team that's tanking, one of the worst teams in the league, and on top of that, the Warriors are, they have all these four different, studs that we never really know who to pay for. Maybe that we don't never know who to pay for, but it's kind of been harder this year to peg who's gonna, be in the better spot. They've been a lot cheaper this year, and they're just in a spot where the game could obviously blow out easily, and it just could get not a lot of run in the end. They could lose that fourth quarter run. So I'm very torn. I think I'm just not going to play Warriors, which sounds crazy. A team that has this high of a total. I mean, alone, their total is, 120 points. How do we not play Warriors? I don't know. It's not fitting my build today. I just think they're not going to be guys I pay up for. That's kind of the problem I'm seeing right now. If you have the money for it, raw points-wise, right, I don't mind getting, a Curry and a Durant. I think those guys are in great spots. Definitely don't think they, have Draymond Green go crazy, right? It seems like Draymond goes, kind of steps it up in those games where they need him to really lock down defensively and kind of bring that intensity. It just doesn't seem like a game for him. Maybe it's a spot where Klay Thompson gets unleashed and we know he gets that fourth quarter run, and maybe they just let him fire away all game. But again, I don't really think you need a ton of Warriors today. The Atlanta Hawks side of the ball is an interesting one, though, and one that I think I want to have exposure to. This Warriors team is one that we love to target in DFS a ton, just because of the tempo that they play at. It's obviously good for fantasy points because of more opportunities. So the question is, who do we play on the on the Hawks, right? I think those guys we can get exposure to. Kent Bazemore in a little bit of a revenge game, right? Used to play against these guys, might get up for it a little bit. Don't mind him. I think Taurean Prince is a really interesting tournament play. Again, though, very inconsistent guy, mainly tournaments. I could understand if you think he's cheap enough around the industry and could do it in cash because of the upside could be insane. But he's starting to get a little more priced up where I think you need to make him more of a tournament play. So that's kind of what I'll do. With Ilyasova gone, I think guys like John Collins, I kind of like him in this game. I think he could be a really good play and just fit this game very well. Dwayne Dedman, even him, if he gets enough run, he'd be fine. Even Mike Muscala for cheap. So with that front court losing Ilyasova, I think the Hawks front court is kind of appealing here for me. Don't hate them. Dennis Schroeder, I don't mind him too. He's another guy I think that you can get exposure to. And another guy is Isaiah Taylor. He's been really cheap around the industry. I'll just read you his last four games, 24.7, 30, 20.7, and 22.2 fantasy points. And he had over 20 minutes in three of those four games. I don't hate going to him. I think he's an interesting cheap option. Tough for me to do in cash. I just don't think we're going to need his value, but I think he's more of a tournament player. If you're jamming in a ton of studs and he kind of fits the last spot, I don't hate it. But yeah, I think Hawks side of the ball is one you're going to want to get exposure to on this slate, one that you're not going to want to miss out on. And also just keep in mind there could be a little blowout risk though too. So that's another reason to kind of maybe like Isaiah Taylor, maybe he picks up 6 minutes at the end of the game. And another reason to obviously be slightly worried about the starters, but I think getting exposure to some Hawks in your tournaments and maybe cash games is fine. Again, it's a 10-game slate. Still lots of news to come out and things to happen. I don't think these Hawks are musts, but I think these are guys that should be considered in your player pool that you're really thinking about playing. Let's go on to the next one, though. We have the Chicago Bulls, and we have the Dallas Mavericks. Bulls are at home, 214 total here. Mavericks are 2-point road favorites. I think this is definitely a game that we want to look at and definitely get some exposure to. We have the Bulls. They're still sitting the regular guys, and Paul Zips are still out. Robin Lopez, Justin Holiday still not playing. I believe Grant. Well, let me check here, too. I haven't checked that recent enough. Yeah, Jerian Grant, he has not been getting run either, so don't worry about him. So it's all these just like Bulls starters here. Have to like them. Their starting lineup is LaVine, Chris Dunn, Nwaba, Markkanen, and Felicio. We'll start with the forward position because this is kind of the spot to really target the Mavs, right, with the big men. I don't like Felicio. I get it. He's cheap, right? He's gotten a little more expensive from that like 3K days when he was just like the bare minimum. He's shown some upside every once in a while, but there's clearly risk with him. This is a great matchup, though. So, man, it's such a good matchup. I don't hate it. Maybe you do it today. Maybe you kind of I think you can take a shot in tournaments on it. It's just, if you guys don't know, I'm a cash game guy. So it's kind of hard for me to like really want to recommend these guys, especially when they're just so risky. But I think in tournaments, he does make sense. He's shown upside in the past, like, you know, in two of the four games. So, you know, he has hit the upside. It's not like he hasn't done it. And then, this is the perfect matchup for it. I mean, it's Dallas. Dallas is struggles on the boards a ton. This could be the spot for him, so I don't hate that. Like Lauri Markkanen, I'm a big Lauri Markkanen fan in general. I think he's a young kid, has a ton of upside, and he could have massive games. He's definitely in like a little slump right now, so I'm slightly worried about that. It's one of the reasons I might not go to him. I just feel like he's kind of battling through a slump that he just can't get out of right now, so I'm kind of waiting to see from him. I do think that Dallas could be the spot where he turns it around, so I don't hate maybe doing it in tournaments, like, but you don't need a lot of exposure. I think that if you want to play him, you could probably get just a little bit and you'll be fine. I just don't see people playing him right now because of how bad he's been playing. So, yeah, I think he's an interesting tournament play, but where we really want to target these guys is like with Nwaba, Dunn, LaVine, and Valentine. Those are guys that we definitely have to look at, and I think that they're really strong plays. The amount of usage that like LaVine and Dunn are seeing, they're just really great plays that you want to get exposure to. I didn't mention Bobby Korzekwinski in the front court, and so he's kind of tough. I'll just read you his like minutes. So he played that game against Philly, 33 minutes. Then he had 49.6 fantasy points. Then he had 19 minutes, 20 fantasy points. 20 minutes, 29 fantasy points. 23 minutes, 25 fantasy points. At his price tag, I get it, right? If Bobby Portis plays 30 minutes, sure, Bobby Portis will probably have a massive game. This guy's like more than a fantasy point per minute type of player, but he's just not getting the run, and that's really frustrating. The Bulls have not like unleashed this guy like we've thought for many years. And sure, he had that big game against the Sixers, but I'm not going to chase those big games. I'm just going to have to keep waiting on Bobby Portis. His price is too much. And I say we just keep fading. I get it. The matchup is great. If we hear that Bobby Portis is going to get a ton of run, then yeah, I would love to play Bobby Portis. But until I hear that, I'm just going to keep fading him because it's too frustrating of a situation for me. So, and he's just not hitting the upside. I mean, sure, he hit it against Philly, but that's because, they got in some foul trouble and then he was not playing. A lot of these other guys weren't playing well. Like Markkanen had a really bad game. So it just gave Bobby Portis a real good opportunity. And again, I think a lot of these Bulls are in play, but I will pass on him. It's really this backcourt, like the Duns and the Levines, those are and like Nwaba and Valentine. Those are the guys I've been keen on the last like four games, and then they're going to be the guys I keep keying in on now. Let's go on to the Dallas side of the ball. Really didn't talk about them a ton, but we got them here, and again, this is a good spot for them. A really pace-up game. Have to want to get some exposure to some of these guys, right? Whenever we see the Bulls, we're always excited. I think Dwight Powell is interesting. He's been really good, past couple games. Last two games, 32 minutes, 37 minutes. He's really starting to get that run that we want. I mean, I feel like the DFS industry has been hoping and trying to make Dwight Powell a thing. And I think we need to make Dwight Powell a thing here. We need to just like keep going with him. I think he's interesting. Price is a little more expensive than I like when I see the guy Dwight Powell around there, but I think he's a fine play, someone that you can consider and put in your list of guys that you want to, look at leading up to lock, like him on this slate. Dirk Nowitzki, I know people are not the, people are not the biggest Dirk fans. He's a great player and all. The problem is the minutes. But when he gets going, if he has the upside, he's not a terrible play. Let's see if he plays tomorrow. That's the one thing I like to look for Dirk is, like, is he on a, back-to-back or whatnot, like front-end or back-end? Because if it's like an island game, I think that's always good for Dirk. So let's see. Do the Mavericks play tomorrow? No, Mavericks don't play tomorrow. So again, like, I like to play Dirk in these pace-up games. One reason why is because with him playing less minutes, he gets more opportunities out there on the floor. So with the more opportunities in those minutes against these fast-paced teams, this is great for Dirk. So he normally plays the same amount of minutes almost every game, it seems like. And I just want him in these pace-up games so I get a little more opportunities out of him. This is a good spot for me in Chicago. They don't play a ton of defense either. I like Dirk here. I think it's a good spot to fire away with Dirk in some tournaments. Like Harrison Barnes, I think he's safe at his price. Don't hate that. Dennis Smith Jr., him too. His price is pretty fair and solid. I know that JJ Barea, his price tag has gone up. I'd rather play Dennis Smith at the similar price tags, but Dennis Smith and Harrison Barnes are kind of just super safe plays that have some built-in upside with the way this matchup is today. And then other than that, we got I think like Dwight Powell and Dirk are guys to consider. And this is a game that you're going to want to get some exposure to. It doesn't look like one, 214 total, but Mavs and Bulls definitely, I think, is an interesting one to mix and match some of these mid-tier price guys in your lineups. The next game we have up here, we got the Toronto Raptors and the Washington Wizards, 216.5 total. This is, kind of a playoff atmosphere type game, it feels like. I don't know, like Raptors-Wizards normally feels like that. It seems like a game that, just battle of Eastern Conference teams. Both teams, I'm expecting, should get up for this one. No John Wall still in this game for the Wizards. Let's talk about the Raptors side of the ball first. I really think we can get some exposure to some of these guys here. Like Kyle Lowry, 7.8K on his price tag. I think that's pretty good for him. Don't actually hate him. He's a guy that I would consider over on Fantasy Draft. Let me see. His price is 14.4K. Between DeRozan and him, DeRozan's at 13.7. I'd probably lean DeRozan. I typically just go with whichever guy is cheaper, kind of buy their prices where they're lower. So I think on Fantasy Draft specifically, I would hit up DeRozan. He'd be the guy I would probably look to get my exposure to on this slate. Jonas Valanciunas is, he's got a nice price at 10.4K. He was crushing before the break, and he's had, some solid performances, not our favorite, though. Like 23.1, 13.5, 18.5. Before the break, though, he was absolutely smashing. This spot against Washington is an interesting spot. I don't think I'll go with it. Just the price is too much for me. I'll pass. Don't think I need to be going that route. I don't know. I don't play the Raptors a lot. It's just one of those things. I rarely play these guys. I think they're fine. I think they're just a better real-life basketball team than they are for fantasy points. So I think my best advice on this game is DeRozan and Lowry just kind of buy their prices where they are cheap. Let's talk about the Wizards. They're without John Wall still. They've been playing some really good basketball, though. I think there's a reason to get some exposure to some of these guys. Bradley Beal, price has gone down a little bit, so don't hate that. I still think there is some upside for him. Price was really expensive. Now it's gone down back to where it was before. I think you can take a shot on him in tournaments. I probably won't do that because still it just feels like I just don't feel like paying that much for Bradley Beal. But he's been getting a lot of good minutes, and he had a really bad last game. I'm assuming no one goes back to him in tournaments. So I think that makes sense to go Bradley Beal on your tournament lineups. Just getting a little exposure to him. I don't hate that idea. Otto Porter, he's kind of pricey, but he's been really good. I think Otto Porter's a guy that we, still want to get exposure to. I like him. I don't mind Marcin Gortat. He's kind of cheap. I know he hasn't been good. I get it. But the price tag is kind of just way too cheap on him in some spots, right? Fantasy Draft, 8.9K. FanDuel specifically, 4.1K. I know the minutes haven't been there, last game against the Warriors, 13 minutes, but we expect that, right? Against the Warriors, Marcin Gortat doesn't play like that. I think it's something that we have to, actually consider. Let me look up real quick Marcin Gortat against Jonas Valanciunas, their head-to-heads, because definitely tell a little story for us to maybe kind of get me more on him, just because that price is really cheap on Gortat. I mean, I haven't played him a ton this year, but when you kind of see that price tag, it pops out the like 4.1K on FanDuel is really cheap, and 8.9 on Fantasy Draft is just really cheap. Okay, so they played, they just played this last month in February. I mean, and Gortat played 26 minutes, and then then they played in the earlier this year, and he got 35 minutes. So, and then they played again earlier this year, and he got 36. I mean, it just seems like we're going to get, like, and I mean, if you look at this matchup, you know, against Valanciunas, you would assume that Gortat gets minutes, right? I just wanted to make sure and double check. I think Gortat's a really interesting cash game and tournament play. I feel like he's going to get minutes here, and I'm not scared of Jonas Valanciunas on defense at all. Definitely a guy I think we can target. I like the Gortat play for super cheap. I think he's there's some really nice value opportunity there for him. So I think Gortat's one of my favorite Wizards play just from a point per dollar perspective. Like him. Sanaransky, I know he was on an absolute heater. Was really good to kind of start out his starting stint in Washington. He's kind of cooled down a bit. I don't think we need to go back to the well on him. More so look at like Porter, Gortat, and then I don't hate like maybe like a Markieff Morris here and there. I think he's fair. But that's about it for this game. I think we can go on to the next one. We got the Denver Nuggets and the Memphis Grizzlies, and they are a team that are going to have to watch the injuries, right? I feel like Memphis has been a team that's been on injury watch for us a lot recently. We got some word not too long ago that Wayne Selden is expected to return tonight, and Jamichael Green is questionable with an illness, which is a big deal. Definitely have to be watching for that, because if he doesn't play, going to be big for a guy like Jarrell Martin, someone we're going to want to get exposure to. Maybe Ivan Rabb pops up with some more time. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe with Selden coming back, because they did this wonky thing where they were putting Martin at the three and Brooks at the two. I believe if Selden comes back, then they can slide Brooks back to the three, and they can keep Martin at the four if Jamichael Green misses. So again, that's going to be big stuff to watch. Stay tuned for that leading up to lock. I think that's kind of going to be the best way I can say it for you guys. I would like to break it down now, but we don't know what's going to happen. We also have Andrew Harrison, who's questionable, right? He's been really good with Tyreek Evans being out, and Tyreek is expected to still be out. If Harrison misses this game, I mean, Mario Chalmers for really cheap. We've been targeting Denver with guards this year, especially at the point guard position. I think Mario Chalmers will become an extreme value play that we're going to want to get a ton of exposure to. So just be on the lookout for that. And even Marcus Saul, too. I know he was very annoyed at management saying, like, I'm not going to be someone I'm not going to be someone that, kind of sits here and, lets like this youth movement happen. Like, he wants to play now. He'll sit out towards the end of the season, but he wants to get his time in. So I expect him to kind of be full speed ahead here. And I just don't like the price. Price has gone up a little bit for my liking, but I think he still has some upside there and is a decent cash play in this fast paced game with all these guys that could possibly be out. So again, Memphis is a team that we're going to, they're going to be like the talk of the town, right? When you kind of start up Grinders Live at 5:30, I'm sure Dean will be listening off the Memphis body parts, and that'll be one of the things he's saying we have to stay tuned for a lot. All right, that's it for Memphis, though. Let's talk about Denver. Jokic, he's been very good. I know he has upside on almost any slate, it seems like, but I'm going to pass on Jokic here. Don't think that's necessary. I'd rather play Andre Drummond against the Magic instead. I'll just find my money for him there instead. We also have Paul Millsap. He is returning. Paul Millsap's price around the industry. Let's kind of get you a little look on that. He's 5.6 on FanDuel. On Fantasy Draft, he is 10.2K. Yeah, that's pretty nice. And then DraftKings, let's see what he is over there. He is 5.2K. So they say he's playing 18 to 24 minutes, and I wish we knew the exact number. If it was 24, I want to get him. If it's 18, I'm a little less excited about him. But I think Paul Millsap is someone that's in play and to consider today. I wouldn't count him out, right? I think we have to put him on our list and kind of see how he fits our construction and whatnot. I mean, when he played 23 minutes the last game, he got 26.4 fantasy points. So, fantasy point per minute, he's a very good player. I think he's in consideration on this slate. Maybe not in tournaments, more of a cash play, because I feel like the upside isn't really there for him. It's more of just the cash guy that we're kind of buying his cheap price tag, and it's just his minutes are limited. So that's kind of the one thing that'll hurt him a little bit in tournaments. And the price isn't cheap enough where I just think there's enough upside there with the minutes cap. We can definitely go with guys like, the Jamal Murrays, Gary Harris, the Will Bartons, right? Those are guys that I Always like to get some exposure to. I think they have upside. I don't really know if I want to, you know, buy on like Will Barton's price tag. I'd rather go with Gary Harrison cash, and then maybe like Jamal Murray is like a upside tournament play. But I don't know. I don't need to get too many Denver Nuggets today. Paul Millsap's return might eat into some of these guys' productions. Kind of something I want to keep watching and seeing, because Paul Millsap does command some type of usage. So I'm a little concerned about that for that for those guards and whatnot. Wilson Chandler, he's got a pretty nice price tag. I don't hate him for the upside that he can have. He's been really taking off. I think he's a guy that if you can find him cheap, I don't mind going to. But yeah, again, I'm still worried about those guards. I think if I pick a guard here, I think it's like if you want to play any of them, it's Gary Harrison cash and then Jamal Murray in tournaments. Paul Millsap is an interesting guy to get the cash exposure to. And where you can find Wilson Chandler cheap, I don't hate him in tournaments. And I'll probably fade Jokic today. That's about it for this game. Let's go over to the Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. We have a 214 total here today. I feel like I said that a lot, but yeah, I think this is a great Victor Oladipo spot. I mean, we've been, you know, ever since Malcolm Brogdon has gone down, they have definitely struggled a ton, the Bucks at covering. Ball dominant guards. I mean, this could be a huge spot for him. I think he's a really interesting tournament play. Only problem with Oladipo is, man, the price is really expensive. It's just a little frustrating to me. 16.7, I like him more on fantasy draft. I think that price is really nice, and I think he's in play. I think he's just someone to consider. I wouldn't go too crazy on exposure with him, but I think we have to consider him in tournaments. I also like Miles Turner here, and I just think this is a great spot for him. We've been targeting the Bucks with centers all year long. I think this is a really good spot for Miles Turner. Other than that, though, I don't want to mess around with any of these other fringe Pacers guys on a 10-game slate. I'm just going to keep it simple. Oladipo and Turner are the two main targets for me, and that's kind of it at this point. Let's talk about the Bucks, though, because that's definitely going to be a spot to watch today. We really need news on Giannis. That's something we have to watch for. He's considered probable for this game, I'm seeing. So, you know, he got hit in the eye or whatever. I'm assuming he plays. I think it was one of those things. He was having a really bad game. If you look at the game log, he played 29 minutes and then 13.6 fantasy points. And I think he just got hit in the eye. You know what he said? They were losing. And he just said, I'm done with this game. I think he just kind of bowed out and called it a day. I think he plays. I think he's a fine play. But I don't know. I don't think I see myself spending my money on Giannis. The only way I think it happens is if, like, there's just enough value everywhere else where I get forced into him from a raw points perspective on maybe, like, a site like FanDuel. That's kind of the way I see playing him. Don't hate the matchup for him. I think it's fine. I think he could have a good game, right? It's Giannis. But in tournaments, right, people might not want to go back to the well with him after that last terrible game. But I don't know. I don't see myself really playing him a ton today. I think I'll pass on Giannis. I like you know, Eric Bledsoe's price normally on fantasy draft, but today I don't think I can do that. I mean, 15.4K. Why would I play him? I just play Chris Middleton for 3,000 less. I know Chris Middleton. You know, he's not the sexiest option at times, and he's kind of struggled the past couple games. But I'd rather buy low on that price if you force me to play a buck. I think that price is just too cheap, and there's a ton of upside there in tournaments. So that's kind of the approach I would take. Also on fantasy draft, you know, just kind of want to note, Giannis's price is 17.7K, which is kind of way too cheap on Giannis. So, man, over there, it just, that price is way too cheap. I think we have to consider him. We're just getting forced to, right? We have like a stud like Russell Westbrook, who's in the next game, who we're going to obviously want to play. But he's 22.1K, and then you get Giannis for, you know, almost 4K less. More than 4K less. That's just crazy to think. So Giannis is someone that I'm definitely, definitely on fantasy draft, I think I'm going to consider more. All right, let's leave this Bucks game and head over to the next one. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Phoenix Suns. And, of course, we want to have exposure to Thunder here, right? It makes a lot of sense. Russell Westbrook against the team that can't cover any guards. Like, where do I sign? This is just a great spot. Love paying up for him. I do worry about the blowout slightly, but it's nice to see the Suns at home. I think that kind of helps maybe keep it a little closer. And we know the Suns, I get it. They're a team that's on that whole tank watch too, right? They're one of the teams that are trying to lose games, but it's tough to tell, you know, guys like Devin Booker and TJ Warren, when they're like battling, they're in a close game. It's tough to tell them, like, the coach isn't going out there and saying, hey, you have to throw this game. Like, that's not happening. It gets to a point where these young kids, like, you have these young stars like Devin Booker, who's going to be a stud in this league. Like, they need to learn how to win games. So I don't know. I'm kind of like under this impression that, like, if the Suns are able to keep games close, they're going to try and win the game just because, you know, hey, these guys are young kids and they really want to win. It kind of gets, I don't know if you've ever played on a bad sports team, but, you know, losing every game is not fun. If you got a game in sight, you're going to try and take it. So I'm hoping the Suns can keep this game close. Thunder kind of keep teams around that are not as good sometimes too much. So I think we can keep this game close. And if we do, man, Westbrook could have a massive game. I think he's my favorite stud on the slate. It's just that price is a lot. You know, if we can get like a Mario Chalmers value, man, that's just going to be nice to be able to kind of package him and Westbrook together. That'll be great. So kind of hoping we just get like a lot of value today. So I'm just able to jam in Westbrook and make it all work. And, you know, it's March NBA DFS. I think we'll be able to do that. Paul George, I think he's a fine play too. You won't see me playing Carmelo Anthony. At least I don't think. It's just that guy's the worst, man. I hate playing him. He's a very frustrating roster. It's easier just to cross him off. You know, whenever you see, I think sometimes he's cash playable when he's too cheap, but like, Don't talk yourself into it. Don't say, oh, it's the Suns, you obviously have a big game. No, just don't do it. It makes life easier. In the long run, if you just fade him throughout, you will make money. You will profit by fading Carmelo Anthony all year, and that's what I've been doing for the most part. I've played him here and there, and he hasn't killed me, so I'm okay with it. I'm going to probably stay away from him here. Steven Adams, I don't hate him too. I think you can correlate him up with Westbrook, and it's fine. It's a lot of your salary, though, so I don't think I will, but I think Westbrook's really my main target here, and the guy that I'm mainly going to look at on the Thunder side of the ball. Phoenix Suns, though, a team that we've definitely been getting some exposure to recently. You know, Alex Len has been one of my targets. I've been playing a ton. Price has gone up. You know, I don't know if he's not like a, you know, a must play now at this point, especially against Steven Adams. Could worry about him getting in some foul trouble and just, you know, not playing as well, you know, against a guy like Steven Adams. Definitely could see that. But he's in my player pool, but not a guy I'm like jamming in like I was the past couple days. I think this could be a really good Elfrid Payton spot. You know, despite Westbrook, I know he's a really good player and whatnot, but, you know, Westbrook can kind of get wild at times and kind of, you know, he can get lazy at times and not get back on defense, you know, Mr. Triple-Double. So, yeah, I could see Elfrid Payton, having a pretty big game in this spot and kind of battling out with Westbrook a little bit. I like him in his price, just 12.4K on Fantasy Draft is really cheap. So, I'm definitely down for that. I'll be getting some exposure to him. TJ Warren, I didn't mention the injury and I probably should have, he's questionable. If TJ Warren sits, plug in Josh Jackson. He will be a guy that you want to get a ton of exposure to. Matchup is not easy, though. Paul George defense going to be a little slightly worried about that. But, man, I want some Josh Jackson exposure if he is out. And then even Devin Booker, too. I think he's another guy that we want to get exposure to if TJ Warren is out as well. Again, 224.5 total. I think we got to get some exposure to this game. Got to like the Sun side of the ball, too. Let's go to the next game. 208 total. Minnesota Timberwolves, Utah Jazz at home. Not the easiest travel for a team like Minnesota. Kind of worried about them. Think that they could, you know, lose this game. And, you know, I don't know. I know, like, again, they're seven and a half point, you know, underdogs. And obviously that's expected right now that they could lose. But, you know, without Jimmy Butler now, and maybe they had some tired legs in the second half of back-to-back going into Utah. Feels like a spot where this team just kind of, I think, doesn't do so well. I just think they just kind of, not they get ran out of the building, but I think they just kind of die off. Kind of were terrible down the stretch last night in Minnesota. I don't know. I just don't see this team doing well. I don't feel like I need to pay their price tags. It's normally a team I want to get exposure to because, hey, they're, you know, they're the Timberwolves. We know what Tom Thibodeau does. He just kind of runs his guys out there for a ton of minutes, and it's great, but their prices are starting to get up there. That's kind of one of the concerns. Prices going up from, you know, Jimmy Butler not being there. I think I can just stay away. The one thing is like Taj Gibson, right? He had a hip injury during that last game. That's kind of something that we have to watch for. If he doesn't play, I think that's going to make some of these guys interesting, and maybe that gives a guy like Gorgui Dieng more run. And if I expect this game to kind of blah, I could see him maybe, you know, maybe getting like just like extra run in like the fourth quarter and whatnot, just because he has fresher legs. I don't know. I don't mind Gorgui Dieng. I think he's a guy that I'm gonna, you know, maybe get on here throughout the day. So I have him in consideration for me. I think he's someone we want to look at on the opposite side of the ball. What do we do with the Utah Jazz? I don't know. I just don't really think I want to play many of these guys. Or I'm already thinking of getting exposure to other guys like Donovan Mitchell. I'll probably pass on because it looks like I'm going to rather play a Devin Booker or some other guys that we've already discussed. I don't know. I just don't see the Utah guys really fitting my builds today. I don't hate Derek Favors in tournaments. Think he's a guy that could have a big game, but not one I want to get a ton of exposure to. I don't know. I just think passing on the Jazz is going to be what I do today. I don't think I need to really get exposure to a lot of these guys. It is the Ricky Rubio revenge game, and he's played well the last couple games, but I don't know. I just don't think I need to go this route today. It seems like a game that I can easily fade. Let's go to the next one, though, because this is one I want to get exposure to, because it's a 10-game slate. That last game wasn't so appealing. Let's go to the next one. New York Knicks. Los Angeles Clippers, 226.5 total. This game is in LA, and oh man, this game is going to be one I'm going to want to eat up, one that I want to get a ton of exposure to, I think. Should be a fun game. Got Trey Burke. He's someone that's been getting a ton of shots, someone you have to consider, I feel like, even though his price has gone up. The thing that's been really really odd about the, well, I mean, not odd, but what the Knicks are basically doing with the minutes is they're playing some of these guys like, you know, the Trey Burks, the Nikolinas, and the Moutiers. They're playing them together. So these guys are a lot safer. It's not like you got 3 point guards sharing all the minutes. I mean, if you just look at last game, Moutier played 30 minutes and then Trey Burke played 24 minutes, and then Nikolina, he played 28 minutes. So like, they're not all playing the point guard together. They're playing on the court at the same time. This is a matchup where they can easily do that together. I think getting exposure to some of these guys makes sense. I think Moutier, Burke, and Nikolina are guys you can mix throughout your lineups. I'd probably go Burke as my favorite, then Moutier, then Nikolina. That's kind of the order I would do it. Man, the other Knicks, though, it's kind of frustrating. Enes Kanter, right? His minutes just have been too down. I know this is a game that they could probably use him a ton, but I just can't trust him. I don't trust Hornacek. I'll probably pass on a guy like Kanter. Don't think that he is that necessary on the slate for me. And like even like the Kyle O'Quinns and stuff, I just don't need to mess around with those guys. I think Michael Beasley could have a massive game here. The question is the minutes, right? And like the whole youth movement thing, that's kind of my worry. I played him, I think it was the Orlando game where he played 22 minutes. Was that game? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was the Orlando game. And then, Boston again, he just didn't get there totally. I know the price is down now, so that kind of helps at 5,500 here on FanDuel. Let's see what he is on the other sites. Fantasy Draft, he is 11.3K. I think there's upside there. If he was at his, if he was like a couple thousand more like he was in the past, I think we wouldn't want to get exposure to him. But I think he's in consideration here in this matchup. And if he's getting at least 25 minutes, we know what Michael Beasley can do in that time. So at this price, I like him more. If he was priced up like he was last week, wasn't a fan, but I think this is fine. I think we can pull the trigger on him. Don't need to play Courtney Lee, just not a guy I want to get any exposure to right now. I think Tim Hardaway Jr., though, is a guy that could have some upside. Don't mind him. Not one of my favorite plays in this game, but I think he's in play. Let's go to the Clipper side of the ball. Sweet Lou. Man, this is a great spot for Lou Williams. I like him. Getting a little pricey, right? He's been underpriced the past couple games, but I think he's in play. I think it's a great spot for Austin Rivers. Like him, too. I think those are guys I want to get some exposure to. Don't want to sleep on them with the injuries that they got going on over there. Avery Bradley and Danilo Gallinari out. We got to get exposure to these guys. Tobias Harris, too. He's another guy I think you want to consider. Don't forget him. Those are probably my three main targets on the Clippers. And I'm trying to figure out who that other guy, who's the cheap guy that we can get exposure to here with all those injuries. I know CJ Williams is one of those guys that was in consideration. He played 21 minutes and did not have the best game. So I don't know if I really want to go back to the well here. I think it's mainly just those three guys I talked about. Maybe Teodosic. He's been pretty solid. I think you can go for him cheap, and I wouldn't hate him. They're just going to go pretty small, just like the Knicks. They'll match up with all those small guards and whatnot. And, I think that's fine. Fine route to take. But that's about it for the slate, guys. Enjoyed talking about it with you. I'll be on Crunch Time today with Andy Means, and I'm even on the 3:30 show, so I'll be on tons of Grinders live content if you're looking for me there. We'll be talking about the slate, and I'm really excited for this slate. I think it's going to be a fun one, that's about it. So stay tuned, look for me on that, guys, and if you have any questions or anything like that, give me a follow on Twitter. It's at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. Thanks a lot for joining me, and I am out.